Thank you, sir. Thanks for coming to the session this afternoon. It's the last session. It's the worst session. It's the one that's like, all right, get this done and over with, and so I'll do my best on that. The title of the lesson is The Gospel Invitation to Children, What to Do After the Gospel is Presented. The description is our focus is on the actual public invitation time. Unfortunately, we spend little time preparing for the moment when hearts will be open for the gospel. Our goal is to give a hands-on approach to the inviting children to come to Christ. Okay, so if you want to work with children or teenagers, I guess this could apply in any environment, but this is specifically applying to working with children. If you've ever worked with children, you've often heard many times how to lead a child to Christ. You've often heard maybe how to explain the gospel to children. This is a very unique session in that I'm talking about the public invitation. So we might have a Sunday school class, you might have a vacation Bible school, you might have a big bus Sunday or something of that nature. You might have a park where there's 10 kids there and you are having a Bible club and you are going to publicly invite a child to raise their hand or whatever and trust Christ as Savior. So it's going to be a very unique thing. I want to say this about the invitation time. The invitation time, one man said, is the most important thing to visit outside of the passage you're going to preach from. I think oftentimes I've been guilty of just kind of, in fact, it just happened. I was up at a church preaching for a youth thing, and the message got done. It was probably about half of the message. I started realizing this is going to be bad. It was like half of the message. It was my fault. We're outdoors. I gave the gospel, and I'm thinking, what is going to happen right now? All right, heads bowed, eyes closed. What do we do? And it was my fault. I was the guest preacher. And what happened, as soon as I was done, I said, you know what? Why don't you come up and talk to me up at the front? And I said that statement not knowing the very next thing on the event was to turn all the chairs around and to face the next thing that was going to happen. And so the next guy gets up. He says, all right. So it totally killed it. Now, could the Holy Spirit work? Obviously. Could souls be saved? Obviously. But from a hands-on, what would have been wise would be for me to meet with those guys and say, all right, schedule-wise, planning-wise, what are we going to do? That said, disclaimer to this lesson, your first blank there, this lesson is overtly pragmatic. We want to be hands-on, but I'm just letting you know this is overtly pragmatic. We are not even going to open our Bibles. We know that there was invitation. I can prove that from the Word of God. There was some solicitation and persuasion. But this is literally, I'm just sharing the different environments that I found myself in, whether it be working at camp, whether it be a vacation Bible school, and how did we, or a junior church, or how do we run invitations. And so perhaps it fits your setting, perhaps it fits something going on in life, but I'm just letting you know by a big disclaimer, this is overtly pragmatic. Number one, the importance of the invitation. Andrew Blackwood, a highly influential homiletics teacher at Princeton and Temple, said the conclusion is second in importance only to the text. And I am guilty of this, especially in a setting that I'm used to. If I teach Sunday school every single Sunday, I'm guilty of just defaulting, this is what we're going to do, rather than saying, God, what would you have me to do? So what do I do when it comes to giving a gospel invitation for children? Number two, let me give you some considerations. First of all, who is my audience? Who is my audience? That is important. My invitation is going to be different if I have 5 kids that always come. My invitation is going to be very different if I'm preaching a youth conference or there's a big bus Sunday and 90% of these kids are lost. I need to understand what my audience is. My audience is going to be different, or my invitation may be different if I have 10 kids here, but I have 3 people, adults, that walked in to kind of see what I'm doing with the kids, and I can kind of can see that they're not really happy with what's going on. I need to be aware of my audience, and I think I need to consider that. Letter B, how many first-time visitors, first encounter with the gospel do I have? Now, this is a big, big subject that you need to kind of think through, but we do live, as I just heard in Brother Johnson's session earlier, in a non-Christian society, and we need to face that. And so many times we like, well, I gave the gospel one and done, let's go ahead and have the invitation time. And maybe I should give an invitation, but I should at least give consideration of how many first time, and I'm convinced this is the first time, this kid potentially has ever heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Something else I need to consider is how strong of a gospel message did I give. If I'm teaching on Noah and the ark, and then, you know, there's 10 or 15 kids there, and then I realize that, you know, I've only realized there's 2 or 3 visitors, and so at the very end, I'm going to give a 30-second or a 2.5-minute, if you're here and don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, that's going to be, and it should be, a different invitation than if I spent 40 minutes or even 4 lessons in a row going through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Letter D, how much help do I have? How much help do I have? My VBS help may be way different than my junior church help. My Big Bus Sunday help may be way different than you know, the camp help that they have. And I'm there and I run this Bible club. How much help do I have? I need to ask myself, how much help is going to be there? Letter E, how much training experience do helpers have? You know, there's a lot of people, you know this, and not everybody's large and everything's, you know, everything's put in order and everybody's been trained. And if you're like in my church, you know, you people are teaching Sunday school and I'm thinking, I hope that person's saved. I mean, I just hope so. I mean, I just inherited them and they're going to lead a child to the Lord. And so I say, all right, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, raise your hand and you can talk to somebody. And as I'm saying that statement, I'm looking and thinking, oh my goodness, I don't even know if that lady has a clue what she's talking about. I better be aware of that before I jump up there and start an invitation. Letter F, how much time have I allotted afterward? How much time have I allotted afterward? If your Sunday schools are like our Sunday schools, it's you're done and you're in the service as fast as possible. And sometimes even in junior churches or even in vacation Bible schools, we don't allot any time for this. I've preached for many vacation Bible schools and you got from, you know, 6:30 to 7 o'clock and then, man, we're going to game time. And I'm thinking, okay, so really, if I'm going to have an invitation, that's going to take up, you know, it could take up 7, 8, 9, 10 minutes, and that means I got 20 minutes of lessons, and they're always running behind in vacation Bible schools. I better make sure what's happening after the service, and that's going to determine what type of invitation I'm going to have. Letter G, what is the spiritual climate in the lesson? And this is important. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit's in charge. Amen. He really is. And there's many times I have been fully desirous to run an invitation. I mean fully desirous to invitation. And I feel like, but as I'm preaching the gospel, as I'm giving the gospel, I just feel like, you know what? It's not there. And I can explain that. You can think what you want about it, but you've probably been in those shoes as well to say, you know what, there's just something not firing in the moment that I just don't know, and maybe I'm going to switch how I do this. I had workers ready, I had cards ready, and maybe I'm just going to switch it to where they just, you come and see me. I'm going to switch things up. You know, also I found this, that sometimes I wasn't even prepared, but the Holy Spirit says, you need to stop the message, and you need to have an invitation right now. You need to change plans. You need to quickly say, hey, workers, I'm switching things up. Can you just be mindful of what's going on right now? Can I get some workers in here? Hey, kids, bow our heads, and let's close our eyes, and let's begin an invitation time. We need to be aware. Again, this is overtly pragmatic, but it doesn't mean that we're not sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. All right, so number three here. Again, this is a very pragmatic. It is very much hands-on. You really could throw things and say, well, that you shouldn't do that, and I can give you scriptural reasons, and this and that. And there's going to be people that take it out of context. There's going to be people to be on one side of the fence, the other side of the fence, and you have lordship, salvation, easy believism, and we do things the biblical way type of people. We have all of it in there. And so how does this all fit in? My answer before I even be given these options is there is no clear-cut thing in Scripture that says this is how thou shouldest run as an invitationist. You obviously know it's not a you know, there's Finneyism, and then there's, you know, just there's churches today that you don't even have a come forward invitation. There's some people that, and they keep pushing it. You know what? It is something that the Bible evidently gives us evidence that there should be a drawing, there should be a coming forward of some sense, whether it be in heart at least and in spirit. And I want some choice.
Pardon me, Brother Shaw, is this Pastor Hensley in here?
Yes, sir.
Or is it? Can you come here for a minute? You're not in trouble.
Principal's off.
Wow. That's one of the scariest things that's ever happened to me. I thought I was getting yanked. I thought, that guy, he's not preaching his sessions. He's listening outdoors. Yanked. You just said something. All right. Which I've seen his Twitter feeds. I could get yanked. You know, that guy's bold. All right. Has anybody ever noticed that guy can say anything? He can just say anything. All right, so I don't even know where I was. But anyways, I really want to give this disclaimer that it is overtly pragmatic, and I really want to say that there is no cut and dry, this is how I always should. I actually feel like the best thing is to say there is different scenarios, there's different moments, there's different impulses, there's different circumstances that make me say what would be best, and this is trying to familiarize with those things. All right, so options, letter A, pray in their seats type of an invitation. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you'd like to trust Jesus Christ as Savior, right now with your heads bowed and eyes closed, you can ask Jesus Christ to save me. Now, should that happen all the time? What does that mean? Let me give you some comments about this. Letter I, this should only be used when there's an overwhelming, that's a key word, overwhelming amount of lost, and you have one shot. One shot. Chris, have you ever used a pray in your seat invitation? I have. In what context? When I'm sitting in front of it, I just did it. I was at a youth conference, and it was an evangelistic outreach, unbelievable turnout, 90 kids there, probably 13 of them are saved. There's way too many kids here, way too many kids here for the amount of workers. And the whole message, 45 minutes, was the gospel, and I told them beforehand, I said, depending on how the hands raise, I don't know what to do, but I did do a pray in your seat type of invitation. Now, why would I do that? Because there's an overwhelming amount of loss, and I feel like I had one shot at this. I feel like they're going to be here, and I may never see them again. Number two, I'm going to use this very sparingly. I'm going to use this very sparingly. I'm only going to do it really, and I mean this, as best as possible, at the prompting of the Holy Spirit. I want to be very careful to pray in the sea. I want to be very careful. We live in a culture where they don't know who Jesus is. They don't know who Jesus Christ is. They don't know about sin. They don't know about hell. They don't know about the resurrection. They don't know about... All they heard is Jesus loves me and the message, and I prayed them through a prayer. I want to be very careful about it. Now, letter number three here, only after a very, very thorough gospel. As best as I know, I have never given a pray in your seat invitation after a tacked-on gospel. Which, by the way, I'm not against saying giving the gospel at the end. I'm not against any seed. I can preach on, you know, giving or marriage or something. You know, if you're here today, you don't know Jesus Christ. He died for our sins. He was buried. He rose to the dead. And I pray the Holy Spirit pricks their heart. But I will not give a pray in your seat type of invitation after that. Number four here, very specific guidance through the invitation. Okay, when I'm doing a pray in the seat type of invitation, when I am doing that, if I have to do that, I am going to guide them almost childlike, no matter how old they are. All right, your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Let's be very still. And for the next about 5 minutes, I just need you to listen to me. I'm going to ask, based upon what I said to you there for the last 35 minutes, if you'd like to trust Jesus Christ. What does this mean? What does this not mean? Is this something, if I just do this, is everything taken care of? I'm going to talk about, I've talked about our sins, and maybe the Holy Spirit's been speaking to you, and you've been thinking, I want to be saved. I want to be saved. I understand that and I'm talking through the entire invitation. I'm not just saying, all right, heads bowed, eyes closed. If you'd like to trust Jesus Christ as Savior, raise your hand. All right, pray after me. No, I'm not doing that. But there is evidence in Scripture that people believed on Jesus Christ while they were preaching. And so they can get saved in their seats. I got saved with nobody there, laying in my bed. Nobody was there, just me and God. That's all I needed. So they can get saved in their seats, but I am going to be very extra explaining during the invitation time. Where are we at here? Very specific guys. Number five, use eye-to-eye, and I guess I should say eye-to-eye contact. So here's how I will do that, actually, in those moments. Heads bowed, eyes closed, please, no one looking around. It's an invitation time. And I will say, you know, you listen to the message, and maybe all message long, something was pricking. I mean, your heart, it was hitting you. I'm not saying everybody in here. I'm not going to throw out words. Everyone in here. I'm saying all message long, you've been thinking, I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if I'm saved. And I understand. I'm a sinner, and Jesus died for me. I understand. And you're thinking, Chris, I'd like to be saved. Did you know right now you can trust Christ as Savior? If that's you right now, would you do two things for me? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Would you raise your hand and would you look at me at the same time? I'm okay with that. And I want them to be okay. No, don't think this is weird. I'll talk to them. Don't think this is weird. Just bow your heads, close your hand. Would you raise your hand? And they raise up their hand. Maybe it was seven or that teen conference. There was about 21 kids that raised their hand. I said, you're looking at me. Don't look at anybody else. Look at me. Hey, listen, you can trust Jesus Christ right now in your seat. I want it to be personal. I want to know that I'm talking to them. It's not just a carte blanche, you know, everybody in the room right now, repeat after me type of thing. I'm going to lead these ones in specific. All right, so number six, a follow-up is an absolute must. About 2 years ago, I was at a teen rally over in the East Coast somewhere, and a kid, in the context, we did a pray in your seat. He raised his hand. And the next day, 2 days later, we went to visit him. That kid was as lost could be. He had no clue. He was lost. He was lost. But how do we know he was lost? We knew he was lost because follow-up's always a must, but it's an absolute must. So at the teen thing that we just did, when I realized how many lost people were there, I said, just so you know, there may be a pray in your seat invitation. There may be, especially on the first night. I said, would you guys do this for me? Would you guys all stand around, and after we're done, and when I lead them through a prayer, I don't say these words. I'll say, you know what, we're calling out to God, and I'll say something like, when I called out to God, I told God I was a sinner, this is what I did, and right now with their heads bowed, eyes closed, I'll pray out loud, and if you want to ask Jesus Christ to save me in your heart, you can ask him to save you. And then after we're done, I said, would you raise your hands? If you meant it with all of your heart, and you asked Jesus Christ to save you, you never had before, but you did, Would you raise up your hand? And what I did in that moment, I'm like, workers, there's three right there. See them right there. See them right there. See right there. And they all have them. And then they're going to approach them afterward or the next day and find out. And there's been many times, you know, they're not saved. They're not saved. You know what I'm thankful for? There was at least an impulse. There was at least desire. And perhaps they could be led to Christ later. But follow-up's an absolute must. Brother Chris, do you use a pray in your seat invitation often? No, I don't. I really don't. If it's overtly evangelistic, tons of kids there, I will. Number two, raise their hands, letter B rather, raise their hands and mark them to talk with or visit them later. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you'd like to trust Jesus Christ, would you raise your hand and we're going to mark them and then we're going to go and talk to them later, whether it be the next day, we're not going to have them pray their seats, or excuse me, not the next day, in the next session or the next break, and the rest of the kids are going to go off to VB or to the stacks or whatever. I'm going to talk to them. Letter I, number one there, very good. It's very good when there are no helpers. It's very good when there are no helpers. Heads bowed, eyes closed. You're there at the VBS. You've got two or three helpers, a lot. Heads bowed, eyes closed. And if you're here and you've, or maybe even not at VBS, maybe it's junior church and there's three kids there. But remember, Sunday school is over and you've got responsibilities and there's other kids going to come talk to you and this and that. Let's bow our heads closed. Raise your hand if you'd like to trust Jesus Christ as Savior. I'm going to mark them and say something like, I'd like to talk to you later about this. Maybe after church we can talk. Or maybe I got to go and start the buses and I'll be right back or something like that. Let me give you some observations on that. Number two, be sure to deliberately mark them. Have them hold their hands up a while. Invitations get awkward. It can get awkward. Raise your hand. But I want you to help you. I feel like it's okay to guide them. I want you to raise up your hand, and I want you to keep your hands up, okay? Keep your hands up for a moment. I'm looking around, all right? And I might be jotting notes. Okay, that little boy, he's wearing blue. That little boy right there, that little girl over there, she's... Okay, I don't want to forget whose hand was raised here. Number three, I think we're at. Danger in missing the moment. What is the danger of this? There is a danger that they raise their hands, and the Holy Spirit maybe was really working on their heart, and I gave a 30-minute buffer between that, and you know this, we're saved when the Holy Spirit draws and works upon our heart, and there could be a moment of passing. So I got to be very careful about that. I don't want to always default to where I'm going to talk about this later. I just got to be aware of that when I'm having this option. And number four, tell them you will talk to them eye to eye. You're going to see that a lot in these notes. Heads bowed, eyes closed, there's seven of you here, and you know, many of you guys come to this church, many of you guys, you've been coming for the last 2 or 3 weeks, and you know, today we talked about Jesus Christ, how he died for us, and I want to know, maybe you're here thinking, I would like to trust Jesus Christ, or I've got some questions for you, Mr. Chris, would you bow your heads and close your eyes? If that's you, would you raise up your hand? They raise your hand. All right, your hands are up, good job, keep them up for a second, and if your hand's up, would you look at me, and they look at me, and I might look right, put your hand up, for you right there, I might look at me and say, hey, after class, when everybody's done, can me and you talk, don't just nod your head if that's okay, and they'll say, that's okay, and we've made that connection, he's aware with it, I'm aware of it, we're going to talk after class, it's a done deal, I'm not saying, all right, I'm not leaving hands off, it's very personal with them, all right, so there's the option of raising your hands and mark them to talk or visit with them later. Let us see. Come see me after class or stay seated after class. Again, this is letter I. I guess I'm moving in how much help we have. Letter I, we still don't have a lot of help. And this is when I feel like the Holy Spirit is guiding for another opportunity. I'm not trying to stop him from trust Christ. Obviously not. But maybe there's just something in me that says, you know what, this kid's only been here one time. I hardly talked about the gospel, so I might say something like this. All right, heads bowed, eyes closed. Today we talked about, you know, obeying our parents. But at the very end, I mentioned, you know, trusting Jesus Christ as Savior. And I might say something like this. You know what, some of you here are thinking, I don't know Jesus Christ as Savior. If, when class is over, would you come and talk to me? You can come and talk to me. You can come and talk to me afterward. Or maybe you're thinking, you know what, if everybody clears out, I'll just stay seated right here. I'm not making the aggressive, the really strong, raise your hand, I'm looking right there, I'm going to talk to you right now. It has a lot to do with, did I just preach the entire gospel? Did I just give 30 seconds of the gospel? Has the kid been here before? How much help do I have? What's happening right afterward? But I might just say, you know what, and it's okay sometimes, by the way. The kids come 2 or 3 times. I don't have to push them to get saved that first Sunday. And that next Sunday, I don't know what's going on in his heart. And I could say, you know what? If God's working in your heart and you think, you know what, Mr. Chris, I want to be saved. I got some questions. Would you just stick around afterward? I'm putting it on him. I understand that. But there's a time and place for that. Letter three, number three, when it seems that coming forward will be difficult or I sense that children are nervous. And I guess that's just a sense thing. I don't know. I told you it's overly pragmatic, and you think I'm kooky. That's fine. When it seems like coming forward would be difficult, have you ever been in a setting where they're just jammed in there? All right, we're going to bow our heads and close our eyes. You're going to raise your hand. And because of the nature of they're like this, they won't even raise their hand because the person next to them can feel every movement. You can kind of see something like that. And also, I've kind of seen where children are nervous. I've seen where I feel like the Holy Spirit is working and all of a sudden it's just like something happened or you know someone took a peek real quick and looked around and all of a sudden you see that shut down and the hole and you're trying to kind of catch it all back up. And so I will use something like, all right, some of you kids, and sometimes this will happen right in the middle of the invitation, some of you kids right now, you were about to raise your hand. I saw it. I saw it and you knew it. You know that you want to be saved and God's working in your heart. Listen, the most important thing, but you know what? You're nervous. I know you are. When everybody's leaving, would you just come up and talk to me and shake my hand and say, Mr. Chris, can we talk? Or would you kind of just hang around and float around the back here? I would love to talk with you. And I guess I'm alleviating that pressure in the moment. It's just a different type of invitation. Number four, I will give specific instructions. Eye contact is huge in invitations, and instructions are huge in invitations. I feel like the greatest attack of Satan is during the invitation. And so what does he attack with? Noises and confusion and the preacher. I mean, I've heard you've been there with the, I'm like, did you want me to come forward or did you want me, I don't know, what was I supposed to give? I don't even know what we're talking about right now. And so we give instructions of what you do. I might say, you know, some of you kids, I saw, there's a couple of you boys, I saw you raising your hand. You almost raised your hand, but you got nervous. Hey, buddy, listen. We're going to be leaving, and you're going to think, well, I got to get outside. No, 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 you don't have to get outside. There's going to be about 10 minutes between now and the next thing. Would you just kind of stick around here? I really would love to talk to you. Just stick around here. Just as everybody's leaving, I'm giving instructions to them during that moment. Number five, be sure before you say this that you have time afterward. I have been in, I shouldn't say a ton of times, but there's been times when I ran off. I have to go teach that next junior. I lead the choir. I have to. And so I'm saying, stick around. And I, boom, I'm out the door. One of the things, if you're going to put that time, be sure that you're available for that time, all right? Letter D here, come forward or go backward type of invitation. So this is an invitation where heads bowed, eyes closed. God spoke to your heart. I want you to stand up, and I want you to come to the front, or I want you to go to the back, or I want you to go to some workers. Now, what can I do in this invitation? Letter I must have helpers who are trained and experienced. As we move forward in these options, I get more comfortable because we have people that are experienced and trained and helping me, but you understand this. And you work in churches. Not everybody has well-trained, and you might be the only person that does it, you and 36 kids. But some, you can start to train others to help you with this. The comfort to go, you must have helpers who are trained and experienced. Number two, be sure workers have time as well. You don't want to say, all right, these workers are available to talk, and boom, out they go to run off the various responsibilities. Again, this is going to be different. Sometimes your Sunday school will operate one way, your junior church will operate a different way. Vacation Bible school, man, you're going to have an influx of kids. How are we going to allot? Wednesday is going to be the big gospel push. What are we going to do in these moments? I need to have workers ready and be sure that they're not running off the next thing. Number three, be sure workers have general instructions before and give deliberate instructions in the moment. Okay, so you get with the workers. Okay, Monday night at the VBS, we covered creation. Tuesday night, we covered the law. And tonight, I'm going to give what Jesus did. We are going to go through what Jesus did tonight. And I really am hoping that kids are going to raise their hand tonight. I'm really hoping for that. Here's what I'd like you to do. When you see me say, kids, bow your heads and close your eyes, I would like for some to get over here, I'd like some to get over here, I'd like some to get over here. But then, listen to me during that invitation. As soon as the heads bowed, eyes closed, please don't pay attention to anything else. You listen to me because in that moment, I may guide differently. So I do want to give them a heads up. I don't want to say, yeah, just pay attention to what's going to happen at the end and I'll let you know what happened. I mean, they could be walking out the door. They didn't even have their Bibles with them. They didn't have any cards with them. They weren't ready for this. They never even led a child to Christ before and you're calling upon them. But I've met with them. They got some general instructions of what's going to happen after. And by the way, this doesn't have to be 20 minutes. This could be, hey, let's get together. The kid's about to come in. Listen, when I'm done, tonight's the night. Let's pray and ask the Lord to save some souls tonight. And I want 10 of you. Would you 10 right here? Would you just be ready? 5 on this side, 5 on this side. Spread up down the side and just listen for instructions of what's going to happen from there. Okay, let's pray. That's all it needs to be. And then in the invitation time, I've done it before. And heads bowed, eyes closed, workers, I don't really feel we're not going to have an invitation, a come forward invitation tonight. heads bowed, eyes closed, and let's continue on, or something switches up, or something of that nature, all right? So, letter four, have them raise their hands and look at the workers. Do you say it again? There's the eye contact. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Let's raise up your hands. And if you here want to trust Jesus Christ as Savior, you can. If your hand's up, would you raise up your hand? Okay, now would you look up here? Hey, kids, listen. Tonight you can trust Jesus Christ as Savior. Best thing that ever happened to you. Now look to your right, look to your left. See them? No one else looking around. These people would love to help you. And there's a quick little smile. It's nerve-wracking. It is. I'm 35. It's nerve-wracking still getting up at an invitation. And so, anyways, that's why I just don't. Okay, so anyways, here's what he says in number five here. It works well in environments. It works well in environments where they have seen others go forward and backward. You know, we're in a different culture. We need to be aware of that. You have 60 kids there. One kid raised their hand, and you're going to ask him in front of 60 kids, and he's never seen this before. He's never. You're going to call him out and say, I want you to go to the left, and I want you to go down. And maybe something that I switch that up and say, hey, that boy that raised his hand, hey, can me and you talk afterward, and I'm going to go to him. It may be different. Or it may be that these kids have seen this before. They come to church where they always have this big, huge vacation Bible school, and they've seen people come forward. They've seen this action. You maybe had invitation on other decisions already. You had invitation yesterday on obeying your parents, and you had 3 or 5, 10 kids come forward. And there's something of a familiarity to that. It works well in those environments. Number six, make it easy for them to do it. Have chairs spaced and workers close. My goal is not to do what some people do. Are you really going to be saved? Do you really want to be saved? I mean, do you really want? I'm not trying to make it hard. I'm actually trying to help them with counselors and people that are trained in this. But I want it to be that there's space to get out. I want it to be that the workers are there. It's not like, okay, kids, turn back. Do you see those people way back there 50 feet away in the very back of the church? They're ready to help you. It ain't going to happen. I want it to be easy. I want it to be that perhaps they're right there on the side, maybe in the middle right there. Maybe they're waving at them and saying that we'd love to talk with you. All right, so don't have too many workers for the moment. It's happened. You have 12 kids. You have 22 workers standing around them, all right? And they're ready for their chomping at the bit. Don't have too many workers for the moment, all right? This is if we want... We want workers to be there, but you know, it doesn't. Hey, listen, looks like our VBS is a little bit lower than we thought we were hoping, but we're thankful we have. At the invitation time, I just need a 5 of you that are going to be ready, all right? Just 5 of you to be ready for the invitation time. Right now, fight it out. Who will be greatest in God's kingdom, all right? Fight it out, all right? Letter E is the final way, and this is my preferred way. Workers go to them. This is my preference. It's a must, underlined, must have helpers who are trained and experienced. Have children raise their hands with their heads bowed, tell them someone will tap them on their shoulder. This is my favorite way, okay? It requires spacing. It requires even a setup like this where people can get to people, or there's room behind a pew or behind a chair or something like that. And I love it with heads bowed, eyes closed, and I will instruct them. I don't want to startle them that someone taps on them in the back and all of a sudden, you know, I will let them with heads bowed, eyes closed, and you're thinking here right now, Mr. Chris, I'm not saved. I know I'm not saved. I've never trusted Jesus Christ. If I died, my good works couldn't get me to heaven. I would go to a place called hell, Mr. Chris. But I understand that Jesus died for me, rose from the dead, and I'd like to trust Jesus Christ to save me. If that's you, here's what's going to happen. In a moment, and sometimes before I even have the raise your hand, in a moment, I'm going to have you bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm going to have you raise your hand, and someone will come up, and they'll tap you on the shoulder and be glad to help you. So let's do that right now. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're here, you don't know Jesus Christ, would you raise up your hand? You say, I want to. Hold your hands up. All right, now watch right now. Workers, would you come up? Now, a worker's going to come up, and they're going to tap you on the shoulder, and they're just going to say, hey, buddy, would you like to talk? And you can lead them all this. I just love that. I feel like it's someone coming and you know, pulling them out. It's someone just and bring it. It's not persuasion. The only part about this, I didn't put in the notes, that you've seen sometimes is what happens when a kid doesn't want to come. You know, right there, the worker's like, hey, you want to come? Come on. You know, it's one of those type of moments. It gets kind of tense. And you tell workers, hey, listen, if they're ready, they will move right away. They will move right away. So the person, thank you, sir, the person will come up and say, hey, you know, just really quickly, hey, you want to trust Jesus Christ? Say, yeah, all right, so let's go back and talk about these. Again, this is not how to lead a child of the Lord. This is the invitation with them. That's my personal preference on how to do the invitation time. Eye contact will still be involved. Here comes somebody. Number four, and I'm almost done. Let me blow through these. Interacting with parents. What if lost parents come to class? What if saved parents are, and you have it, let me just address these. What if a lost parent's in your class? What do you do in the invitation time? If a kid raises his hand, I will try to go to the parent and I'll say, hey, listen, your kid raised his hand. he would like to trust Jesus Christ. Are you comfortable with me talking to him about those things? If the parent is directly in class, that's just what I do. Maybe you have something else. If there's a kid in your class and the parent's next door and they want to trust Christ as Savior, and I can sense the mama may not be happy about that or something like that, I'm fine with saying, hey, buddy, you know, let's talk afterward. Hey, you like to trust Jesus Christ? You know what? Your mom and dad would really love to know about this. Let's go tell mom and dad what's going on, and let's let mom and dad. By the way, I'm a mom and dad. I would love to lead my child to Christ. I would love to. It doesn't have to be, but let's try to be comfortable with that. Number five, and I'm done, have Bibles on hand, have a decision card, have follow-up material, have gospel training for every worker, and last but not least, have a prayed about game plan. All right? He gave me the 1 minute, so I think I have 30 seconds left. Any quick 30-second question of that sort at all? Yes, sir.
Do you have a lot of time when you have kids speaking?
During the invitation time? Yes, that's a good question. During the invitation time with kids speaking in that, I really try to strongly turn it still. All right, boys and girls, we're now going to have something called an invitation where of any time I want you to pay attention with your heads bowed, eyes closed, and not talking. This would be, in fact, if you're talking this time, this would be the time you can get in the most trouble. I really, really, really want, I don't think I've ever had a problem when you really just make a gigantic break. This is different than anything we have been doing. We've had no problem. I've had to sometimes say, hey, guys, over there, it's a really still moment. Let's be quiet. But that does happen at times. Anyone else? All right. Well, Jason, I'm done. Finney. Appreciate it. Have a great last session. Try to stay awake. Amen.